Buddy. Apparently somebody else had tryptophan. Okay. You are lucky. I don't know who you're supposed to be. Okay. No, I'm teasing. Hey, so we are in week four of our series, No Offense. And we literally live in a world that we get so easily offended. And quite frankly, some of you maybe during Thanksgiving, you got offended because somebody brought something up or somebody said something or somebody did something. Or maybe as you were driving this morning, you know, it's raining and it's 28 degrees outside and what in the world's going on? And, you know, somebody drove slow. I'm going to be honest with you, this morning I was driving in and there was somebody driving slow in front of me and I was a little bit irritated. Because I'm like, okay, let's go. Come on, let's make it happen. Let's move here. Because I was ready to be somewhere and do something. And we just get that way, right? It just happens. And so we've talked so far in this series that if we know Jesus, if we love Jesus, there needs to be a change. God holds us to a different standard. You go, well, everyone else around me is that way. I know. And people are going to treat you poorly. That's just the reality. People are going to be mean to you. People are going to betray you. People are going to undermine you. People are going to stab you in the back. People are going to do that because that's what people do. But God has called us, if we know Jesus Christ, to live differently. So week one, we talked about the fact that we can be angry, right? Sometimes we get angry, but we're not to be able to allow that anger to hold on to us. We're going to be angry and we're not going to sin. We're not going to let the sun go down on anger. So the idea is that, yeah, we can be angry, but the reality is being angry may make a point, but being loving, that makes a difference. And what has God called us to do? He hasn't called us to make a point. We're not to argue with people about everything. We're instead supposed to make a difference and help people come to know Jesus Christ. And then in week two, we talked about the fact that being offended is inevitable. You're going to be offended. Somebody is going to offend you in some way, shape, or form, or maybe multiple people are going to offend you on a daily basis. Being offended is inevitable, but living offended, well, that's a choice. Sometimes, maybe you know people like this, like they walk around looking to be offended by someone somewhere in some shape or form. They're like, they walk into a room and everyone gets quiet because nobody wants to say anything because the minute you say something, they're like, oh, I am so offended by that. And they're like, okay, what a shocker. Because there are people that live that way. So living offended, oh, that's a choice. You can choose to live that way if you want to, but it's kind of a miserable existence. And then last week we talked about the fact that unfortunately, a lot of people who know Jesus tend to have this idea of looking down at other people. And God says, listen, if you truly love me, if you truly want to follow after me, then you're not to be looking down at people as if you're morally superior or better than. You're to be lifting people up. That's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to lift people up and encourage people and help them see who God is instead of getting in the way and acting in such a way that people don't even want to know who God is. Now today, we're going to tackle a topic. Oh, thank you. You're my favorite daughter. I'm just teasing. I love them both equally. Okay. We're going to tackle a topic that unfortunately is a big part of our lives. And now some of you are going to struggle more with this than others. And the idea is bitterness. Bitterness. And some of you are like, well, I don't have bitterness. Well, let's just hold your horses for just a minute. Because the reality is that the vast majority of us probably have something in our lives that we are bitter over. And bitterness can be something that can really destroy relationships. It can destroy your walk with Jesus Christ. It can destroy your life. It can destroy you physically. Have you ever met somebody that walked around and literally it looked like all they ever did 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year was suck on lemons? Yeah, like seriously. Don't point. That's not nice. But they're just constantly bitter about something. And you ask them, how you doing? And well, actually, you don't ask them how they're doing anymore because you're like, I just don't care. Because every time it's this laundry list of everything that's gone wrong in their lives and everyone that's offended them and everyone that's wounded them and everyone that's ever hurt them. And you're like, well, yeah, but look at your life. And they're like, yeah, look at my life. And it's just like, man. And so initially when we start this, that's the person you're going to think of. But I don't want you to do that. Because if they're not here, then it's not going to make any difference to them. I want you instead to go, okay, God, this morning, I want to be open to the idea that maybe I've got some bitterness in me, and I want to be able to work through that, and I don't want to hold that in my life, and I'm going to tell you why as we walk through this morning, because bitterness can be really destructive to you. So let's begin, shall we? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 15 says this, work at living and peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. And I want you just really quickly, underline or circle or highlight whatever those two words, work and work. Because I love the writer of Hebrews goes, listen, work at living at peace with everyone. Now, if he says work at living at peace, what does he mean? It means it's not going to be what? It is not going to be easy. Everyone's like, well, I just want it to be easy. We should just all be at peace and love each other. It doesn't work that way. It is hard work to not be offended and ticked off at everyone. It is hard work because that's our natural reaction, isn't it? Well, I can't even. Sometimes I feel like the grumpy old man sitting on my porch. You ever felt that way? You're like, oh, get off my lawn. And it's like, man, the Bible says we're to work at living at peace with everyone. And then, as if they go together, because shocker, they do, he says work at living a holy life. Now, that word holy, we initially like retranslate that into that's not what it means. The word holy means sanctified or set apart. It means you work at and you understand that God has purpose and meaning and direction and intentionality about your life. So you are going to work out your life as if God has set you apart for something unique and specific. And that also is hard work, which means it's not going to be easy. So don't let anyone ever say, oh, being a Christian is easy. No, it's hard, but it's worth it when you understand the benefits. So he says, work at living at peace with everyone. Work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Now, this is really interesting that the writer, who I believe is the Apostle Paul, says this because the audience is a group of Hebrews. That's why it's called Hebrews. It's a group of Jews that are living kind of spread out all throughout the Roman Empire. And these Jews have already accepted Jesus Christ. They're already saved. And yet he says, look out so that no one fails to receive God's grace. Now here's what that means. It means there's a grace that comes through salvation, right? You experience God's grace, his forgiveness, his redemption, all of those things. But there's also an ongoing grace. Experiencing, living in, walking in God's grace. Have you ever met somebody that you know accepted Jesus Christ, but every day of their life, they live as if they have to earn it again? And they try to keep earning it, and they try to keep earning it, and they have all these rules that they try to follow and that others try to follow, and they try to get you to follow, and it's all about these rules, and they're not living in God's grace. Now, are we supposed to live in a way that honors God? Answer, yes, of course. But there's not rules for you to be accepted by God every day. And so there are people who, though they've accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, they're not living in the grace that God has. And Paul says, listen, don't let people do that. If you find somebody that knows me and they're living that way, don't be on the watch out for that. Keep an eye on these people. Look after each other because I want everyone to live in this grace that I have for you. And then he finishes with this. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Now you see that? Bitterness and grace are on opposite ends of the spectrum. And so, the minute that you allow any root, no matter how small, of bitterness to take hold in your heart or your soul or your life, that bitterness is blocking you from experiencing grace. That's why it's so important. Now, how many of you, when you were young, had to pull up weeds in your yard? Any of you? Okay, cool, awesome, right? Parents are terrible, aren't they? I mean, pulling up weeds, come on, are you kidding me? Now, do you remember, especially dandelions are the worst at this, right? You'd go to pull up a dandelion, and you'd start to pull, and all of a sudden, you'd hear this pop, and there would be nothing but the dandelion top. And there would be this root, and you were told, you got to pull out the root or it'll come back. And you had to dig that sucker out, right? You dig, like with your bare hands and your teeth, because your parents were so mean they wouldn't give you a trowel or a shovel or anything like that to take it out. And you just had to, it was terrible. So when you understand that, you think about that, the writer is saying, hey, listen, I want you to think about bitterness this way. If you don't get it all, it's eventually going to what? Come back. So bitterness is almost like a cancer. You got to get it all. If you leave any remainder of it or any residual effect of it, it is going to block you from experiencing God's grace on a daily basis. So bitterness and resentment, they all relate to anger, right? And anger relates to being offended. And we let anger and frustration at others or the situation that we find ourselves in fester and build up in our hearts. And we can begin then to develop bitterness and resentment to other people. Now, most often, bitterness takes root when we're hurt by others. Because bitterness is usually, it's usually focused on someone or something. So we let that bitterness kind of just fester within us. Or the other area that sometimes is we become bitter about the situation we find ourselves in. You're like, well, I don't deserve this. I didn't do this, and this happened to me. And so you develop a bitterness about the situation that you are in. And bitterness starts when we cling to anger. So we have to go back to week one, right? In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. And if you let the sun go down in your wrath, guess what begins to take root in your heart? It's bitterness. It's frustration, it's resentment, it's all these different things. And then we start to hold a grudge. Now, see, some of you went, oh, that's not fair. Bitterness and grudge are not the same. Grudge is the little teeny tiny dandelion root. That's where it all starts. I'm not even going to ask if you've ever held a grudge, because if you don't put up your hand, you'll be in sin. Because we've all had a grudge. And we just, oh. Now some of us more spiritual than others, and we let it go after a few weeks. But we have those grudges, those things, and that is the beginning of the root of bitterness that begins to happen within us. But what happens is it doesn't stop there. Our negative emotions and all those things begin to grow, and then what happens is that bitterness begins to come out of us, because notice at the end of the verse, it says it will corrupt who? Many. It'll impact other people around us. And so as that bitterness begins to grow, your negative emotions will start to show. And you'll start to have unrealized, unmet, and unexpressed expectations of other people. And because they don't meet them, you're going to get angry with them, and you're going to get more bitter and more grudge-holding, and you're going to want to take revenge and let them know just how much they've hurt you, and then people won't want to be around you because they can't meet your expectations, so why would they want to hang with you? So then it starts to mess with your relationships with other people, and you see the snowball that begins to spur out of control, all because of bitterness. 2018, there was an article in Psychology Today, and I want to just read a couple of excerpts from it because it just kind of opens your eyes, even how people who don't know Jesus understand how potent and negative bitterness is. Listen to these phrases. Bitter people are easy to recognize. Isn't that interesting? Bitter people are easy to recognize. You see them like, they're just easy to recognize. They often feel depressed about something that happened in their life, and usually it's from their distant past. Being unable, or in most cases, unwilling to let go of that event has led them to a life of unforgiveness. Bitterness is most easily defined as a chronic, pervasive state of smoldering resentment. Let me read that again, because I didn't read it well the first time, because there are words I don't normally, smoldering is not a word I use. I'm not a big fan of tangled. Okay, so there's bitterness can most often easily be defined as chronic, pervasive state of smoldering resentment. Wow, that really, that paints a picture, doesn't it? Can you feel the smolder, just a little bit going on? You're like, oh. When a person is full of bitterness, it becomes increasingly hard for other people to maintain a relationship with them because the bitter person has unrealistic and unspoken expectations they hold even their closest friends and family to. Those who live a life enveloped by bitterness become emotionally injured, having trouble dealing with negative events that can and do simply happen to everyone's life time to time. Basically, what the article is saying, listen, life happens. Stuff happens. Things that aren't enjoyable or exciting happen. If you hold on to it, if you let that simmer, eventually it's going to bubble over and it's going to negatively impact every single area in your life. One author puts it this way: bitterness blows out the candle of joy and leaves your soul in darkness. Bitterness blows out the candle of joy and leaves your soul in darkness. Like, Dave, what an encouraging message on this wonderful overcast and rainy day. So here's what we're going to do. First of all, I'm going to share with you three things about bitterness that you need to know. And then we're going to talk about how to defeat it, okay? So here are the three things that you need to know about bitterness. The first one is this: bitterness works against peace. Remember the verse we read, work hard at living at peace with everyone? Well, bitterness actually actively works against peace. You cannot be bitter towards someone and be at peace with someone at the same time. It doesn't work. Because bitterness doesn't go, well, I love you and I want to be at peace with you. Bitterness is like, listen, here's what we're going to do. Here's the plan. That's what bitterness is. So bitterness actively works against peace. The second thing is this: bitterness blocks the effectiveness of God's grace. We already kind of talked about that, right? And he says, listen, work at living a holy life. Work at experiencing the grace. Don't let anyone miss out on the grace of God. And listen, if you have bitterness, it blocks your experiencing of God's grace. So bitterness works against peace. Bitterness works against and it blocks the effectiveness of God's grace. And then finally, bitterness poisons those around you. That's that last phrase, corrupting many. And so when we understand this, this verse that we just read at the beginning, it is completely impossible to live out any of that verse if you have bitterness in your life. Can't do it. And so if you've ever wondered, wait, why can't I seem to grow deeper in my walk with Jesus Christ? Why can't I seem to get past some of these issues that I'm struggling with? Why can't I be able to overcome these things? Well, the answer may be, because you actually have some bitterness going on. Some things that you've not dealt with. Some things that you've not worked with. I want to give you one last thing. It's a freebie. It's not on your notes. And so you can amaze and amuse your friends with this. But it's simply this. And that is, the root of bitterness always blossoms into vengeance. The root of bitterness always blossoms into vengeance. You go, okay, the root is what it is. It's internal. You can't see it. It's below the surface. So if you in your heart, like you have this desire to get even with people on a regular basis, then my friend, I will tell you right now, that is bitterness working inside you. That is bitterness eating away at who you are. And you're like, oh, I just want to get even. I know. I totally get it. I want to treat them like they treat me. I totally get it. But God has called us to live differently. And so if you've ever thought to yourself, I can't believe they did that to me, I'll show them, that's vengeance. If you've ever thought to yourself, why or who do they think they are, I'm going to take them down a notch, that's vengeance. You're like, I've not thought that, I've done it. And I posted it on Facebook, it was awesome. Or this one, and this is hard sometimes. And that is, I'm so hurt and I'm so angry. I just want them to feel the way I do. that's also vengeance. So if those things, you're like, oh, wow, okay, maybe I do have some bitterness going on, but I don't want them to mess up my life. What do we do? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 19. The Apostle Paul tells us something that I think is wonderful and marvelous. First of all, he says, don't take revenge. And you're like, that's not wonderful and marvelous. I like taking revenge. But I want you to see the reason why. He says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Yes! You're like, I want them to experience it. Leave it to God. By the way, can I tell you this? Okay, secret. God's way better at it than you are. Way better at it than you are. So listen, if you're like percolating with that and you're like, but you don't know what they did to me. They betrayed me. They undermined me. They hurt me. They hurt somebody I love. All this stuff. I totally get it. Here's what you need to do. You need to leave that to God because he will take care of it better than you will take care of it. And you need to be able to trust God to take care of it. And he'll handle all of that. And that I want you to see, for the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will what? I will pay them back, says the Lord. So when somebody hurts you and inside that percolating, you want to take revenge, you can pray. And listen, you can pray this. God, this person did this to me. And I am going to choose, because it's a choice, to not seek revenge and to not hold on to bitterness because you promised you would take care of it. And then when you feel it again, you know what you should do? Pray the prayer again and keep praying it because God has got it covered. So, let's say you feel the bitterness. What do you do? Well, the cure for bitterness, here's the big idea for today. The cure for bitterness is giving grace, not getting even. The cure for bitterness is giving grace, not getting even. I know some of you are like, yeah, but I really want to get even. But if you get even, then you're getting in the way of God's getting even, and his even is better than your even if you're good at it. So get out of the way, and instead of trying to get even, start giving grace. How in the world do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to determine whether or not you actually have bitterness. And that brings us to our first point. The first thing is, you've got to let God expose it. You've got to let God expose it. You've got to allow the truth of the Word of God to, like an MRI or a CAT scan or an X-ray, to like look into your heart, look into your soul, and see if there's any of that bitterness in there. And how do you do that? Well, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's talking about Scripture. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So, one of the things that I encourage people to do, that we challenge people to do, that if you know Jesus, you should be doing, is you should actually be reading your Bible. And if you're like, well, I have YouVersion, great, read YouVersion. Read, or, you know, whatever. Okay. But read it. Here's why. Here's why. Because as you read Scripture, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit works through that, and he'll point out things in your heart and your life. You're like, well, I really want to know Christ more. Okay, read the Bible. Well, yeah, but I want to take a course somewhere. No, read your Bible. Yeah, but I'd like to take a workshop. Yeah, read your Bible. Because if you want to know God and you want God to show you how to live, the first thing you need to do is read your Bible. And I love the way that the writer talks about it. It's like a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. You ever seen a two-edged sword, right? There's sharpness on either side of it. And so the beauty of the Word of God is that if you're broken and you need healing, you know what it will do? It will provide healing. But also, if you're hiding sin in your heart, you know what it's going to do? It's going to cut the other way. And it's going to go, hey, right there. And it's going to expose it for what it is. And so I got thinking about it last night, actually, as I was going through everything, and I sent Caitlin a text message at 10:45. I'm like, hey, do you think you can get this in the notes by tomorrow morning? She's like, yeah. So behind me is a QR code. So here's what I want you to do. You're like, well, I don't have any bitterness. That's fine. Let's find out. Get your phone out, and if you have YouVersion, it'll open up right in your YouVersion app. If you don't and you just want to do it, just go ahead and scan it, and you can download YouVersion. You can find it. It is a 5-day reading plan that's literally called The Root of Bitterness. And all it's going to do is it's going to go through different passages, and it's going to walk you through what bitterness really is. And by the end of it, if you're like, yeah, I'm good, I'm clean, I don't have any root of bitterness in me, awesome, fantastic. But my guess is there's going to be something that God's going to point out to you. And that's the first step, is simply let God expose it. Second thing, okay, so we let God expose it, whatever the root is, even if it's a small one. And then we do the next thing. We let grace heal it. We let grace heal it. Now, grace is you and I getting what we don't deserve and we haven't earned. That's what grace is. So you do something or you don't do something, you're just being who you are, and somebody walks up and gives you something, that's them showing you grace. You haven't earned it, you don't deserve it. Mercy is the opposite side of that coin. It's somebody not doing something that you have earned. So like a judge stepping in and going, I know that you were speeding and I know you lost your cool that morning because it was 28 degrees and raining and you were late to church, but I'm going to show mercy and I'm going to waive this ticket, you know, and tell you maybe cut back on the coffee a little bit. That's mercy. But grace is you getting something out of nowhere and you've not done it. You've not earned anything for it. It's just grace. Psalm 6:2. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Man, circle that word real quick. That's such a powerful word. It is not a word that we use on a regular basis in any way, shape, or form. Languish means this, you ready? A lack of vitality or vibrancy, becoming weak or feeble. Bitterness saps all of your energy and your joy and your zest for life. And so what does the writer say? He says what? Heal me. Heal me. I need healing. What's the answer? I need you to be gracious to me because I am languishing. Oh, Lord, my bones are troubled. Like I hurt to my bones. And that's what bitterness does. And so the writer says, listen, here's the cure. You need to ask and allow God's grace to begin to wash over you and experience that. You're like, well, I'm already saved. I've already experienced God's grace. Well, you know what? Here's the cool part. The Bible says that each and every day, God gives us new grace. Now, you may have experienced it. Listen, I was 13 years old. I was 8 years old. I was 14 years old, whatever. And I accepted Jesus Christ. How many days of grace have you missed because you've allowed bitterness to hang out in your life? God has grace for you every single day. And the only way to allow grace to truly heal you from the bitterness that you have within you is to intentionally desire to experience it each and every day. Grace means that you are blessed by God even though you don't deserve it. We struggle so much because subconsciously we feel like we've got to earn God's grace, don't we? Well, if I don't do this, God's going to get me. Your car didn't start. You're like, God, I'm sorry I didn't do my YouVersion reading plan today. Would you please start my car? Please don't. And we think that that's what God does to us. But grace cannot be earned. It can't be. It's freely given by God and experienced by us. God's grace is activated as you believe in your heart that you have actually been washed clean. You see, that's the reason so many of us don't experience grace is because we don't believe we deserve it. Guess what? You don't. so many of us struggle experiencing God's grace because we don't think we've earned it. Guess what? You haven't. Do you know why you have grace? Because God chose to love you. The grace of God has nothing to do with you or your behavior. Isn't that great? Now, seriously, because y'all are a hot mess just like me. And we know that we do not deserve God's grace. That's why it's grace. And yet every day we strive for grace. You can't strive for grace. All you can do is experience it and accept it. That's it. So let me just read you a couple of things here because I think this is so important to stop seeing yourself the way that you see you and start seeing you the way that God sees you. Because through Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, there is no judgment, there's no condemnation, there's nothing that God holds against you. You are free. That is the saving grace of Jesus Christ, but there's so much more. You need to stop allowing past events to spoil the grace that God has for you today. Relish God's grace so that he can fill you up with joy and peace. God knows you by name. And he called you out, and he cares so much about you that he even keeps the hairs on your head numbered. For some of us, it's easier than others. He keeps them numbered. That's how much he cares for you. God made you in his image, but he made you unique. He filled you with purpose. You are not an accident. You are the intentional creation of a loving God whose desire is to have a relationship with you. And even though you have rejected God over and over and over, he still longs to connect with you. And when you finally relent to his love and accept his gift of salvation, God doesn't go, yeah, but do you remember all those times you rejected me? But what God does is he wraps his arms around you and he calls you his child and he says, welcome home. Now you can choose to live a life with all these truths, washed in God's goodness and his grace, healed and holy and filled with purpose. Or you can choose to live a life filled with bitterness, shriveled and alone. The choice is yours. So we let God expose it. We let grace heal it. And the last thing we do is we let good replace it. We let good replace it. Any Seinfeld fans out there? Ah, cool. You're going to know what I'm talking about then. There's a guy on the show. His name's George Costanza. Costanza, right? And he was just a perennial loser. Like, George was just, like, everything he did just blew up in his face. It never worked for him. And there was a part of the show, it was several episodes long, where George decided that whatever thought he had in his mind, he would do the exact opposite because doing what he thought was right never worked. And so he just started doing the exact opposite of what he thought he should do. And his life totally changed forever. Like, he got this great job and all this stuff, and he's like, I just can't believe it. I've been doing everything wrong my whole life. I'm going to do the opposite, and I'm just going to start doing the opposite. All these great things happen until the end, and he started making dumb decisions again. But literally, God wants you to pull a Costanza here, okay? Because our natural reaction when somebody does something evil to us is to repay evil for evil. And God goes, that's a feeling. And I totally get it, but I want you to do opposite. Do the exact opposite of what you feel like you should do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 19. See to it that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. He says, okay, Someone does something to you, do not repay back evil for evil. Instead, here's what I want you to do. He gives us four things. He said, first of all, be joyful. Now, we would like to substitute that and say, be happy. Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is a choice in spite of circumstances. So God has called us to be joyful, to instead of looking at the circumstances and saying, well, my life is terrible, my life sucks, I'm this, I'm that. You go, you know what? I woke up today. I will choose to find the things that God is blessing me with instead of pointing out the things that I feel are being used against me. And you choose to be joyful. And you go, well, what happens when you don't be joyful? Well, then you go back to this next one, never stop praying. Like, God, I really don't feel joyful today. I'm really struggling being joyful today, so I'm going to pray. God, show me the things that you want me to see so that I can choose joy today, because I don't want to be bitter. I want to experience your grace. I want to have that relationship with you and with others, so I'm going to choose to be joyful today. And God, when I can't do it, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to put my life before you, and I'm just going to ask you to do all these things in my life. And then he goes, be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful. Being thankful. We're like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. No. If you know Jesus, it's Thanksgiving every day. I would challenge you to find at least four or five things every day to actually, whether you write it down or you verbalize it or you pray it, to be thankful for every single day. Because when you're looking for things to be thankful for, guess what you're going to see on a regular basis? Things to be thankful for. When you're looking for things to be angry about, guess what you're going to find on a regular basis? Things to be angry about. So choose to be thankful. And then notice the last thing he says. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Your walk with Jesus Christ is empowered and sealed by the Holy Spirit. But notice what he's saying. He says, if you're not living joyful, if you're not praying, if you're not being thankful, then what you're doing is you're stifling, quieting, shutting out the Holy Spirit. And you know where it all starts? Bitterness. It just flows all the way through. And you get to the point where you're like, I don't even hear from God anymore. That's why. So what have you learned? Well, bitterness works against peace. Bitterness blocks the activeness and the effectiveness of God's grace in our lives. And bitterness poisons not just us, but those around us. So what we need to do is we need to allow God to expose any bitterness that we have. And then once that happens, we need to let grace begin to heal us from the inside out. And then as we experience that, we need to let good replace it. And instead of lashing out, we need to respond with God's grace. Because you don't cure bitterness with getting even. You cure it by giving grace. Father, this morning, we spent some time in your word with this idea of bitterness. And God, it's easy to excuse it and to say, well, everyone has some of that. But God, we want the abundant life, and we want to live in your grace, and we want to be different. And as hard as that is, God, we believe that it's possible. And so, God, I pray today for those that are sitting there, and as we've talked through this, they're like, yeah, I am well aware I've got some bitterness. God, I just pray in this moment, first of all, I just pray you'd speak to them. You'd be like, child, let it go. So open up your hands and let it go. Allow God to show you where it is and why it's going on. And then, my friend, just experience God's grace. You are loved beyond measure. And if you allow that bitterness to hang on, you're missing out on God's daily grace. And then, God, I pray that you would just fill us with your responses of goodness and grace to others. Because we want your grace. We want to experience it every day. We don't want to walk around offended and angry and ticked off and bitter. That's not who you've called us to be. So God, I pray as we leave this place that we leave that bitterness right in that seat. We don't let it hang on to us like a parasite. We pull that root out and get every little tendril, every little part, because we don't want to come back. And God, we ask you to fill us with your grace so that we can become the men and the women that you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name.